Blog Talk Radio.
I walk around and I pray, teach the children to pray. Sometimes I lay flat on my back and I pray, and I pray. Well, and I ask her, I ask for wisdom, teach mother to pray.
Wonderful song, wonderful song. It speaks to so many things, Wonderful song. Toda Abba Yah for allowing me to find that. Toda for guiding that song my way. Toda Abba Yah. Wonderful song, wonderful song. Welcome to Kol Elohim. I'm your brother, Ari Al, here with another segment in Iblis Culture. In Iblis Culture, we have been going through for the last 5 weeks, four plus this one, five, the mystery of iniquity, I'm going to open up with a prayer before I get to talking and getting into the lesson, give honor and blessings to Abba Yah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Again, Father, for bringing us to the door of your Shabbat, Father, that will be opening in a few moments, Father. Thank you for that, Father. Father, I ask and pray first and foremost for the health and the spiritual release, Father, of our daughter Danielle, Father, and all those who are in her household, Father, who are going through with her, Father, and not just our household, Father, the whole household of Bet Yahweh, Father. And all those are taking hold of your covenant, Father, and taking hold of your son, Father. I ask for release for them, Father. I ask that you remove those things that's plaguing them, Father, and remove the things that hinder us from keeping and going in this walk, Father. Father, and ask and pray for healing throughout Israel, Father, not just Israel, healing throughout the world, Father, that we be able to remove some of the strongholds on these minds, Father, that we be able to be living vessels for you, Father, that we ourselves put our own selves on the altar, Father, that we be to come that living sacrifice, Father, as you said in your word, Father. Deny ourselves and become that living sacrifice for you, Father. So I ask and pray all these things in your holy and precious son name, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat. As a heritage, a remembrance of creation, blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctified the Shabbat. Amen. Amen. Well, family, Ms. Bakai, those who are listening, those who are going to listen, may we lay down ourselves and open up, and let's get real. Let's get real. And it started with me. Today we're going to talk about mystery of iniquity, but we're still talking about mystery of iniquity. We can understand the things that's hidden, even within ourselves. But this one is talking about healing. Healing. Started with me this week, Monday. And we're going to start off with some rhetorical questions, things that just start to jog the thinking of people, start to get down and try to get to some real things and be honest, and be honest. I wish I knew how to open it up to a service and get on there and because this will be a call-in show. You'll be able to call in. But if y'all are willing, we may do that next week for the closing. So people can open up and put their prayers and anything on the altar that they need to. Y'all willing that we can do that next weekend. I wish I had the know-how now. We will open it up. Because it's funny how Abba leads you in ways that you have no clue which way you're going until you get there, until things start to happen. And then end of the week, it's clarity that comes, you know. And this week started off with me, and I don't know, I wasn't in the pity party. I wasn't that, but I was just feeling real down starting Monday, real down. And my older two daughters, all my daughters, matter of fact, all three of them, you know, they've been going through. And then sometimes within that, I felt inadequate as a father, asking myself, doubting myself, you know, did you make the right move? Did you say the right thing? And are you doing what you're supposed to do in their lives? And realizing that they still got to live their lives, still got to live their lives. And Tora Aki, but that's what I was going through. I was heavy Monday, you know, because there's some arguments that took place between me and my boo, Shawnee, and me and Mac, and this thing has been a little rocky, you know, and that came to me today about people's struggles and don't take things, and I love what the Akoti said, I love what Rabbi said, I love all the input that people have given, and we ought to do that more often because that's healing. You never know who you're helping. You never know who you're helping when I will put something on your mind and you just say it. You just get it out there. Don't hold it back. Because he put it on your mind and your heart for a reason, so you can help somebody. So whatever that you're going through, you can share it, and maybe somebody else is going through it, and you can let them know how you got. You got me and Shawnee. We had a good talk yesterday, and me and Mac and Kara came over yesterday, and she just was like, I'm feeling so angry. Why I'm feeling angry, and I don't know what to do, and just a lot. Half the time that he has been attacking. He has been attacking. And more so now because people feel like they're helpless. Feel like they're helpless, you know, in this world system. And things are not getting better. Things are getting worse. So more people are feeling more helpless. You know, and even to the believer, that we get in those down moments, that we feel helpless until there's a reminder that there is a king, there is salvation, that there is a way out, you know. But at the moment, we still feel helpless at the moment, you know, until a brother or to a sister calls. You know, and one of the things that crossed my mind was, how many people out there feeling not love? I mean, we talk about believers and non-believers. How many feeling that they are being conveniently loved? That the person that they believe that's supposed to love them the way they want to love them, that is only a convenient for them at times to show the love. It's never a genuine love. How many people feel that way? You know, and these are vocal, these are for yourself and for me, for I had to ask my own self these questions, you know. And how many people feel inadequate? How many people feel hopeless at times? You know, how many people feel like Abba's not listening? And let me be the first to tell you, he's always listening. He's always listening. Always. And then we going to get home. We still have a lesson sitting in front of us. But in Bet Yahweh, and if you're a member of Bet Yahweh, you understand. If you're not, May Yahweh lead you this way. How many feel that or have trust in the Kohanim? How many feel that you can't bring our problems or what we go through to the Kohanim? And it's rhetorical, but as my sister Samaria said, some of these conversations are real. And we have to get down and be real about these things and have these conversations. Because Abba didn't put the world on hold for no reason. He allowed everything to happen, but his people, a cohesiveness, a closeness was supposed to come about this. Something was supposed to happen within this, you know, and that's why I said I wish I could open up the lines and people call. How many feel like the Kohanim are too busy and their lives are much more? I don't deny that. We are, majority of us have wives, families, jobs, and other things. But our first and foremost job is to Israel. To Israel, first and foremost. And let me be one of the first to apologize if I didn't put it out there that I am available. I am touchable. I am reachable. I am open. So if you're going through, and it shouldn't be, but we know it is, that you can't talk to this person, you can't talk to that person. So again, how many feel that the Kohanim are reachable? The Kohanim are vessels for healing. Our vessels for struggles. Because that's what we are, period. We can find scripture upon scripture, proof upon proof, to prove that point. That's what they are. Every time he says something to the Kohanim, for my people Israel, for my people Israel. Yahushua, when he came back, I come only but for the lost sheep of Israel. I send you out to Israel. Always. And it's not just Israel. It's for the sick. It's for those who are struggling. But yes, indeed, we as Kohanim, we struggle. We go through life situations. We go through our ups and downs. We go through our problems. But first and foremost, our job is to Israel, to Yah. But Yah is to do the will for his people. His will have life and life more abundantly for his people. So the struggle, we just read in the first three books or chapters of Mark about how Yahushua came healing. He came healing the people, removing demons. And he sent his Talmudim, his students, out to heal people, to remove demons. But how many have trust in the Kohanim or faith in Yah that he chose us, that he chose his Kohanim for a job, and especially those who are here in Bet Yahweh? They're here for a job. Abba chose them to remove the demons, to remove the heartaches, to help you with the struggles, the ups and downs. And especially at this time, we got to go back and think, it's been going on 4 months now. Abba have removed that for a reason, for a cohesiveness, a closeness to come to Yisrael. More importantly, or to bring it down, to Bet Yahweh. But do we have the trust in the Kohanim? Because with a friend of mine, and she was talking about how she's going to see a therapist. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool, but the study of a mind going to see a psychiatrist or a therapist, I understand that. But who better to talk to about the spirit? Because everything boils back to the spirit. Everything boils back to that. Everything boils back to that. Then a priest of the Most High Yah, who better to talk to But what she said was sometimes people who they do not know, because you talk to somebody you know, it's somehow, some way brought back up in your face, maybe through a second or third party because somebody then said something to somebody else and the story went around like a wheelbarrow. So they go to somebody they don't know because they feel as though they, at the end of the day, they will not get judged. Let me tell y'all something, family. If any Kohanim does that, trust and believe, Yahweh going to deal with them. He's going to deal with them because it should be, if the court system can have a system of privacy, how much more does Yahweh priest have a system of privacy between the whoever they counseling and the Most High Yah? He's going to deal with them, period. We can read through the scriptures so many times, Shimshon, Samuel, no Samson. His mother went to the Kohanim. She went to the priest. Rebecca, the twins, she went to Yahweh. She went to the priest. So many times we read in there, I believe it was Samuel too, that his mother went to the priest with problems. But here in this world system, it's been twisted. You don't go to the men of Yahweh. Then again, all the men of Yahweh showing themselves to be trustworthy with the information that they're getting from these people, or are they being available, showing that they are available to help with problems? We're going to read one thing about in the book of Hebrews, about what's supposed to happen. We're going to read that. When a daughter is being plagued, unclean spirits, when sickness is running, it should not run rampant in Yisrael. It shouldn't. But faith, doubt, disbelief, some of them that all mean the same thing. Where is our faith? Move away from the men. Move away from them. Abba will hold them accountable. Trust and believe. I'll bet my life on that. He will hold his men up accountable for our actions. And still don't forget, and it's not an excuse, that they're human beings. We are human beings as well as you. We are human beings. We're not perfect. Although we're trying to be perfect in the unperfect world, but we're not. But when something is brought to one of us, it should be dealt with immediately, and we should be on the road to making amends immediately. Like the thing said earlier that was sent up, it shouldn't be taken personal. When somebody pull you up about something, it should not be taken personal. It shouldn't. It shouldn't be taken personal. It should be looked at it, oh, man. Abba Yah is pulling me up. Regardless how that message came, Abba Yah is pulling me up. He used a donkey to pull one prophet up. He used various means to pull up his son and his daughters. Various means. So, as was brought out last week, the messengers of Yah, it's time. Time, that's why we started in the book of Malkus, the book of Mark, the messengers of Yah. But let's move on. Those are rhetorical questions. Those are questions that we think about in our prayer. I wish I knew how to open it up and we can have an open discussion about this. But let's read some things out the word of Yahweh. Let's read some things out the word of Yahweh. Let's see how his word is a healer, how his word is a two-edged sword. cutting bone from flesh, it says. And y'all know the opening scripture, which I will just paraphrase. You know, that's in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, but I don't want to start there. I want to start in Romans, because some of these things, and it was brought out earlier on the line for those who said it. Oh, hallelujah. If y'all want to respond, Abba have just made a way. Rabbi Yaakiel just said he is on the board if people want to respond. So if you want to call in and give a response to the question, you can. I will be done. So as our coach said, some of these are the conversations we need to have, because at the end of the day, we want healing. We want things that hinder us moved away. We want things moved away from us. You know, we don't want to have things hindering us deep down in our soul. So we want to remove these things. We want to be healed. We want to walk in that kingdom. And he's given us an opportunity to talk. So if you have something, call in. Rabbi's on the line. He'll be able to let you in. So let's go to Romans 7. And 18. Romans 7:18, because there's something that's happening to these people in this world. It's something, as my daughter said yesterday, Kevin, she don't know why she's angry. She don't know why she's feeling like that. And my director on the job, we talked the other day, and he said, man, I've been feeling this, just feeling of anxiety, nervousness. I don't know why. And we got a chance to talk. I would give him some good words, and always at the end, thank you. But it ain't me, it's Abiyah. It's his word that's going to remove these things. Even if for a moment, to give people a breather so they can see that there is salvation out there. There is salvation. Romans 7:18, and I'm going all the way down for those who writing notes down to 25. We're going to take our time. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For desire is present with me, but I don't find it doing that which is good. For the good which I desire, I don't do. But the evil which I don't desire, that I practice. That I practice. For the good which I desire, I don't do. But the evil which I don't desire, that I practice. But if what I don't desire that I do, it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwells within me. Dwells. And as believers, we can come to some type of understanding of that. Right? We can come to some type of understanding of that. How about the world? The world will never be able to come to some type of understanding of that. They will never be able to do that, to come to some type of understanding, because they have no clue of what's going on within their minds. They have no clue. Because they don't understand what's going on within their mind. They don't understand it. They just think it's an everyday life problem. They don't understand that there's sin within them. They have no clue. They ain't even looking at the Creator. And truth be told, the world is going further from the Creator than we ever could understand that. They is going further. They're going the opposite way. rampantly. 21. I find then the law that to me, while I desire to do good, evil is present. We talked about how sometimes we talked about how everything is evil in this world. He said evil is present. If Abba can remove the veil from our eyes, we will understand that every single making moment of our life, there's evil present with us. Evil there. Every single moment of our lives, every time we decide to do something good, he's there trying to get us to go the opposite way, trying to get us to go where we should not be going. This is what the brother is saying. This is what he is saying. And sometimes we recognize it, and sometimes we don't. Truth be told. For I delight in Yah's law after the inward man, but I see a different law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity under the law of sin, which is in my members. It's capturing him. It's grabbing him. It's taking hold of him. Law of sin, and not just him, each and every one of us. It takes hold of us in a multiplicity, different ways. So many different ways. Whatever current, as the brother brought out years ago, whatever is your current, that's the way he's coming. Whatever thing always getting you to go left, that's the way he's going to come. And when you find out that I'm always going left, let me get on the straight line, he ain't going to stop. He's coming another way. He's coming another way. Think of the heartache that a parent has when their children being attacked. Think of that. When their children being attacked and they're looking for hope, they're looking for help, looking for the men, not just the men, the brothers, their sisters, anybody to come help with me with this situation. My child is being attacked. Help. So let's think of the world. They're looking for help. They're looking for help. But first, Israel got to get themselves together. We got to get down and understand the same thing Brother Shaul is telling us. The same thing that he had to realize about himself. We all have to come to a realization of and what we want. And what we are willing to do. I was there, or was it my will? We wrestle with that. We wrestle with that. We know what we do on a daily basis. We know our thoughts on a daily basis. But I see a different law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity under the law of sin, which is in my members. What a wretched man I am, who will deliver me out of the body of this death. I thank Yah, through Yahushua HaMashiach, our master. So then, we, with the mind, I myself serve Yah, Yah Torah, but with the flesh, the sin law. Our mind. And that's where he's attacking. He's attacking the mind. In the mind. Let's go somewhere real quick. Let's just go to Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart makes good medicine. Desires drive up the bones. What does that mean? What does we all know what a cheerful heart makes good medicine mean? But what a crushed spirit drives up the bones. What does that mean? When you look up that word crush, it's going to take you to something impressed, something brought inwardly. Something that's brought inwardly, you know, and that's what happens to people. When we happy, that inner man, you see him. But when we're not happy, depression. Inwardly, everything starts to retreat within us, and we have no control, and some of us don't realize it that we're in the ground. We don't realize how deep that we have been pulled in this hole. We remember the movie Get Out when he fell down in that sunken place. That's real. That we saw in the movie, but in the mind, in the spirit, it is real because we retreat within ourselves. We go all the way in, and it's only going to take God to be able to pull us out. Real. That's what happens. So Brother Shaul just said in the book of Romans, so I serve the law with my mind. With my mind I serve the law. But when you're in that depressed state, that crushed spirit, you ain't going to be able to serve nothing. You can't. But then on top of that, the mind is so complex that we start to build these other characters. We start to build these false identities. And you look up, you don't know who you really are. Who you really are. I know that to be true because I've been there. I just heard it out of my daughter's mouth. I really don't even know how to love. And I said to myself, and how many of us out here truly don't know how to love? And a lot of us have been walking this way for a long time, and we truly do not know how to love because we have not dealt with that problem deep down within us. We didn't build this person over top of it, this personality, and that thing has been covered up. And we don't know that it's deep down there until it's brought up out. And that's why you need a Kohanim, you need a priest of the Most High Yah to be able to go down and dig that out. Because he's the only one who knows what's down there. He is the only one who knows what's down there. Man don't know. The study of the mind, they don't know what the mind is. The mind is a spiritual thing. They don't understand the mind. They're coming up with hypotheses, educated guesses. That's it. The only one to know what the mind truly is the Most High. He made it. He is the author of life, the giver of life. He made us. He is the only one who knows. And the only one can direct one of his servants the right place to pull it out. Let's move on. We're going to go to Matityahu, Matthew 18. Let's read this parable that the master said. I start at 18, move down to start at verse 21. And we're going to go all the way down to 35. We're going to get the whole thought here before we start going through. And we read it before. I know y'all did. I've read this many times. But let's see if we can see something different in this today. Then Kephas came and said to him, Master, shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him until seven times? Yahushua said to him, I don't tell you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So hold up. I can see Brother Kephas now. I see our human nature now. You know what? Seven times 70, 140, right? Well, here's 141. That's it. I ain't got to forgive him no more. Once he get to 141, that's it. It's over. You out the door. Your forgiveness, now we sure said out his mouth, seven times 70. That means 140. He means every time he asks for forgiveness. And even when he don't ask for forgiveness, for your own benefit, forgive. Our human nature, we're going to count 141 times. That's it. I'm done. Can't deal with them no more. She done did me wrong too many times. I can't deal with them. But we're going to continue to read because he's about to give us a parable. And let's see what he says at the end of the parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to recounsel accounts with his servants. When he had begun to recounsel, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Because he couldn't pay, his master commanded him to be sold with his wife, his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. Look, they're going to sell him, his children, and his wife. And he still wanted his money. Let's listen. The servant therefore fell down and knelt before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will repay you all. The master of the servant, being moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he grabbed him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. Are we picturing the scene? We picturing this man just left out of court. The man just said, you know what? I'm going to give you time. I'm going to extend you some gratitude. I'm going to extend your payment. You know what? You ain't got to go to jail now. Your family ain't got to go. Soon he get out of the prison. Soon he get out of the courthouse. He sees somebody who owe him some money. He snatches him up out of the throat. Now, that's human nature right there. Think about it. He's scared right now. He's shaking in his boots. Man, if I don't pay this master, I'm about to tear this. I'm about to lose everything. So he's scared. So we understand his human nature. Right now, he's scared. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. He would not, but went and cast him into prison until he should pay him back which was due. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were exceedingly sorrow and came and told that all that was done. Then his Lord called him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you have also had mercy on your fellow servant, even as I had mercy on you? And that's what he didn't see. He didn't see that he was just showing mercy. As the world, look at the world. They live their lives however they want to live. They don't see the mercy that the Creator is showing them. But he's showing them mercy just as well as he showed believers. He said, I rain on the just and the unjust. They don't realize the mercy that they're being shown. Shouldn't you also have mercy on your fellow servant, even as I have mercy on you? His Lord was very angry and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if you don't each forgive your brother from your heart for his misdeeds. Forgiveness was about this. Forgiveness. But there's another thing that we can learn from this. That's another thing that Abba want us to see. Because the same thing that I have sent out to the family today, I sent it to my family first. And one of the things that kept coming back was empathy. Empathy. Also empathy. What is empathy? Putting yourselves in someone's shoes, being able to see what they are going through. Putting yourself in their shoes. And when that came across, because I went and I looked it up, empathy. Matter of fact, let me just read the definition if I can pull it up. When I looked at that, and it took my mind to, wow. To Yahushua HaMashiach. When we read it, y'all gonna hear. The definition, and this is coming from the Merriam-Webster College Dictionary, the definition of empathy. The action of understanding, being aware of, being sensitive to, and vicariously experiencing the feeling, thoughts, and experience of another, of either the past or present, without having the feeling, thought, experience fully communicated in all objective manner. So that's the whole thing. Mankind is running rampant. Mankind is down there sending each way the master. Yahweh have already flooded the world. He didn't already had the white man off the face of the planet. He saved a soul. He said man got so wicked that he had repented himself to say, why did I make these? That's how bad man it got. Okay, I'm going to start over. I'm going to use these eight people. I'm going to put these eight people in the world, and you know what? I'm going to give them my ways. I'm going to start a line, and maybe things will be better. Maybe they'll learn from the flood and from the thousands or millions I just killed. They'll hear about it, turn from their wicked ways. Years went by. Thousands of years went by. Thousands. Man got worse. So he said to himself, you know what? Let me go down there, Father. Let me see what this flesh is all about. Because I love them, I understand them, but I don't really know what they go through in that flesh. So let me go down and let me put on that flesh. And let me show them that it can be done, Father. So he had empathy. He had to come to understand what this flesh does. We read what Brother Shaw just said, what Brother Paul just said in Romans. In my members, there is a law of disobedience, a evil there present when I want to do good, there's evil there at all times. So he had to come down. Let's read some things how he had to come down. Let's go see his empathy. So we're going to start off with Yochanan, John. We're going to start in John 1, and we're going to read down to 14. John 1, all the way down to 14. And let's see his empathy, his understanding of what we go through. So after we read this, we should be the same way. I believe Rabbi brought that out earlier in the text. And not for those who didn't hear, but those who just heard what Brother Shaul or Brother Paul said in Romans, that he was giving us a situation of what else troubles is and what we go through. That our mind can play tricks on us. Our human nature deceives us at times. Let's move on. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. And the same was in the beginning with Elohim. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness hasn't overcome it. There came a man sent from Elohim whose name was Yochanan, or John, for those who don't know. The same came as a witness that he might testify against the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but was sent that he might testify about the light. The true light that enlightens everyone was coming into the world. Amen. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own, and those who were his own didn't receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become Elohim's children, to those who believed on his name. Hallelujah. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Elohim. And let's get that. Let's slow that down real quick so people can understand that. Those who believe on his name. They wasn't born because mommy and daddy got together and decided to have a hot night. They was born because they was born with a purpose. They was born to be, as Yochanan we just read about, to be a witness to his name, to when he moved off the scene, he said, now that ye shall do greater works. What works we doing? What we witness to? His name. Because he just said in 13, those who believe on his name. 12, I mean, they believed in his name. Yahushua HaMashiach. That's why he was born. So you can witness to that. Same thing your common did. You can witness to this world that salvation is coming. Repent, for the kingdom of Yah is at hand. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh. Listen to me, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, not because mommy and daddy got together, nor of the will of man, not because I wanted to lay with this woman, or she wanted to lay with this man, but of Yah, but of Elohim. That's why you were born, if you believe on that. The word became flesh and lived among us. We saw his glory, such glory as of the one and only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. It became flesh. So now, the same flesh that Brother Shaul was talking about in the Romans, the master came down and he put on flesh. He didn't build everything. He didn't made the heavens. He didn't made the earth. He didn't made the seas. He didn't made the winds. He made everything. And now he didn't came to dwell among us. He made mankind. But he had to find out, what was this flesh all about? This flesh is something different. That's why the scripture says in I believe the Psalms that man was made a little lower than the angels. So the angels are fully spirit. Man, a spirit covered in flesh. And when we die, that spirit goes back to the Father. And we know, we even read 2 Ezra 7, where though you get that Torah if you was right. But if you wasn't right, you get a Torah and then you go to sleep until judgment comes. But it's best to go to sleep, like he said, in peace, knowing that you're going to wake up to eternal glory and not wake up into eternal damnation. Let's move on, family, to Hebrews. Hebrews 12 through 16, for those who are taking notes. For the word of Yah is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to discern the thoughts and the heart. There's nothing that we can hide from the Creator. Not our thoughts, not our actions. He said, I know your thoughts are far off. He know the thoughts before they get in your mind. So what does that tell us? In your spirit. It's thoughts of spirit. It's not flesh. Thoughts are not just hanging in the air. As what we always told, blow on your hand. That's spirit. That's wind. The thoughts is in the air. He said, I know them. Before they get to your mind. I know them. Why not lay your life at his feet? We can't hide. We can't hide from him. We can't do nothing without him knowing. Nothing. Again, we can lie to ourselves and say, he don't see me. Or we can block him out of our mind. But that does not mean that you are blocked out of his mind. That means, well, write that in the book that Brother Ariel decided to do this, that. Yeah, well, write that down. So when I see him, I can rewind it back for him. I can just show him. Open it up. Open up the book. That's each and every human being. And he said, and the books were open. The books were open. There is no creature that is hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Amen? Having then a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Yahushua HaMashiach, the Son of Yah, let's hold tightly to our confession. from we don't have, for we don't have a high priest who can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but one who has been in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. My eyes, it jumbles up the words sometimes here. Like we are, yet without sin. And that's one of the things that people always say, especially us as a people, as a colored people, people of a dark hue. One of the first things we say, you feel me? You ever talk to somebody and you can see that whatever they're going through, you can feel all that. You can feel everything they're going through because that's how they're expressing it. You feel me? You know, that's how we talk when we finish. You feel me? Yahushua said, I feel you. Yes, I do. I understand what you're going through. I am the truth, the way, the life, and the way. I have a way out of whatever you're going through. Because in all points, I was tempted just like you are. But I showed a way out. I left an example. I feel you. I understand. Because I put on that suit. I put on that flesh for you. I left my throne for you. I left my kingdom for you. I left all that glory behind for you. We can change. I can release some things. Some things had to be done in the spirit world. I did that for you. I did that. I broke chains for you. All have salvation. Every single human being on the face of the planet. They just have to be aware of it. Just have to be aware of it for the act that Yahushua done. 15 again. For we don't have a high priest who can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but one who has been in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace for help in time of need. May find grace in time of need. Family, are we reaching out? Are we reaching out? And if, like I said earlier, my phone is open. My lines are open. And if things are getting too heavy for me, I have brothers. That's why Yahushua said he sent us out two by two. He ain't sent one out at a time. He sent them out two by two. He knows the pearls. He knows the traps. He knows the burden that you have to carry. So two. Mother chase 1,000, two, 10,000. Are we reaching out? Are we asking for help? Are we seeking the face of God? Or are we saying, you know what? We're going to sit home. We're going to pray. We're going to pray to Father. And the Father like, oh, I already got a system set up. I set something up for y'all already. Why y'all not using that system? That's set up for you. Already, I already have a way for you to be out, to help with the sickness, to help with the demons, to help with any ailment. System set up. Already had a system set up. When the Malachim came to visit, I believe it was Zechariah, he was in the temple. We know that we don't have a temple right now, but we are available. We are available. And if you have those thoughts and that mindset that the Kohen Deem is not available, reach out. Talk to one of them. Talk to them. And we still have an opportunity now to talk. Philippians 2, family. Philippians 2. One through 11. Through 11. If therefore there is any exhortation in Mashiach, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercy and compassion, make my joy full, my being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, doing nothing through revelry or through conceit, but in humility, each counting others better than himself. Each of you, not just looking to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others, have in your mind, which was also in Yahushua HaMashiach, who, existing in the form of Elohim, didn't consider himself equal with Elohim a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, to the death of the tree. Therefore, Elohim also highly exalted him and gave him to the name which is above every name, Yahushua HaMashiach. Hallelujah! The name of Yahushua, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. And we know that there are some under the earth right now. We have been through the route of Enoch, and he showed us that there are some under the earth right now in prison. And all of them going to bow to Yahushua HaMashiach. Let me read that again. In the name of Yahushua, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. Yahushua HaMashiach is master, to the glory of Yah, the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Family, that's it for tonight. We don't have to keep going, although we could. But the point was made. Let's continue to pray for one another. Let's look for one another. Let's call one another. Let's check in for one another. It should have been in these 4 months a cohesiveness, a coming together to be in each other's presence. That ain't it. We know we can't right now. But that mind should be a coming together. That cohesiveness and the Ruach should be together. Nobody should feel that they can't approach the Kohanim. Nobody should feel that they can't call a Kohanim. Nobody should feel that I'm all alone. I'm hopeless when you say you are a servant of the Most High Yah. Nobody should feel these things. And if you are feeling these things, let's talk about why. Together. Let's see if we can reconcile. Because again, if it's something that the Kohanim is doing that they don't supposed to be doing, Yahweh will deal with us, period. And if you're a believer in Yah, you know his word, then believe that he will deal with us. But let's put aside these things. Let's try to move past whatever thing that's hindering us. Let's open up to one another. Okay, oh no, I'm sorry, fam. I got one more scripture. I thought that was the last one. James. We're going to James, family. You're coming. I mean, Yaakov. James 5. Starting at verse 7, all the way down to 20, family. And that'll be there. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the master. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Master is at hand. Don't grumble, brothers, against one another, so that you won't be judged. Behold, the judge stands at the door. Amen. Take, brothers, for an example of suffering and of perseverance, the prophets who spoke in the name of Yah. Behold, we call them blessed who endured. You have heard of the perseverance of Yah and have seen the Master in the outcome, and how Yahweh is full of compassion and mercy. And that's when we read that in this, when Job said, I thought I knew you. Now I know you. Now I know you. How many of y'all can say that? How many of y'all say, now I know you, Yah? Or some things that's hindering us from that complete relationship with the Father. And if you have a relationship with the Father, you'll have one with the Son. You should anyway. But above all things, my brothers, don't swear, not by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you don't fall into hypocrisy. Let me read that again. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you don't fall into hypocrisy. Is any among you suffering, let him pray. Is any cheerful, let him sing praises. Is any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the assembly. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach. Prayer of the faith, will heal him who is sick, and the Master will raise him up if he has committed sins. He will be forgiven. Confess your offenses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Prayer of the righteous person is powerful, effective. Powerfully effective. Let me read that again. The insistent prayer of the righteous person is powerfully effective. Eliyahu was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it didn't rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. That means it's not like we read one time he prayed. He kept on praying. He didn't give up. He did not lose faith in Yah. He kept praying until this thing happened. Let me read that again. Let me start at something too. Eliyahu was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it didn't rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brothers, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death, and who will cover a multitude of sins. Is that not the bottom line? Saving souls. Saving souls. Covering sins in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach. And that is the end, family. That is the end. It don't have to be long. You get straight to the point. Straight to the point. Let me find. Oh, is that it? Final closing. Closing benediction. Let us remove these barriers from one another, family. Let us remove them. First, let's dig down and find out what's underneath us. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to the home. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with shalom. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Father Yah, once again, thank you for giving us your word, Father. Thank you for being there on the throne always, Father. Thank you for reassuring us, Father. Anything that we go through, all we have to do is come towards you, and you're going to run towards us, Father. Thank you, Father, for your Shabbat, Father. Thank you for this rest, Father, for the mind, body, and spirit, Father. Once again, Father, may we become a shield around all Israel, Father. May all of us put our hands together, our spiritual hands together, till they connect, Father. That we become a shield for our loved ones, that we may become a shield for the Yaladim. We may become a shield for one another, Father. We become a shield for our Akotis, Father, for our Isha's, Father, for our elders, Father, for our Kohanim, Father. We may become a shield, Father. Let us all continue in prayer. In Yahweh's face. In Yahushua, holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Israel. Thank you.